The title of today's sermon is Stay Actively Connected. Can you say that? Stay. Amen. I've chosen those words carefully. You know, I thought about saying stay connected, but I thought it was not powerful enough. And I will tell you the difference between, or you will tell me, the difference between staying connected and staying actively connected. Okay, so let's open our Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And I'm just going to read the first four verses. So we're just going to, little by little. Wherever we finish today, we stop and then we continue until we get deep enough. John chapter 15, verse 1 to 4. Okay? So two things I can do. I can either read it or have a permanent reader today. Will we help just hold the mic permanently? Anyone want to volunteer to be my... Okay, thank you. So just... You can share with your wife, actually. It's okay, it's allowed. We have the same household, okay? So can you just read John 15, verse 1 to 4? And we're trying to read it from New King James or New Living Translation.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me.
Amen. Now, if you don't mind, can you just pass it to your wife, and then you can read the same place from New Living Translation, John 15, 1 to 4.
Okay. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Amen.
Amen. Now, let me just to remind you, who is the vine? Who is the true vine? Yes? Just answer me. Jesus is the true vine. Now, if he says I'm the true vine, that means there are fake vines. Yeah? You know what fake vines are? They are false religion. Religion, yeah, is a form, a tradition, yeah, that claims to be a way of knowing God or getting to God. Yeah? But not all religion is true. There's only one that is true, and that is Jesus. And as Joseph has prophesied today, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, and what? And the truth. And what? And the life. No one. So Jesus is the true vine. Can you just say that when you say Jesus is the true vine? There's no other way. The reason is that no one ever came down from heaven. Everyone born, a human being, is born of a woman. Yeah? We are born of the heart. But Jesus is the Word of God. Yeah? Jesus did not start existing when Mary, you know, considered it. He was existing before the world was created. Yeah? John 1:20 says, the word became what? Flesh. Amen? So he came down from heaven. That's why he's the only way to heaven. He is the true vine. Okay? And if Jesus is the vine, what are we? We are the branches. Is it possible for a branch to have life independent of the stem? Yeah? Is it possible? No. I'm talking about true life. You see, I'm not talking about just living. Yeah? Open your Bible to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I'll just read you quickly verse 4, just to show you what I'm saying there. There are two types of life. There is the human life. He that is born of the flesh is flesh. See, there are many people alive in the world. How many people in the world today? Any young person here? How many people in the world today? Audrey? About 7 billion. Yeah? They are alive. Yeah? They have human life. Humans can only reproduce human life. But look at John chapter 1. Verse 4. John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. I'll read this one. It says, in him. No, let me just read from verse 1 to show you I'm developing it. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. He said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Who is he talking about here? He's talking about Jesus Christ. He is the eternal Word. If you look at Revelation, it says his name is called the Word of God. He was in the beginning with God. You see, his life did not start when he was born of Mary. No. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. All. Think about anything that exists. They only exist through the power of Jesus Christ. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Just emphasizing, in case you are confused, you see anything that exists, it holds together because of Jesus. If Jesus withdrew himself, it falls apart. Amen? Now, verse 4 is where we are going to. He said, in him was life. What type of life? Let's stay there. Stay there a bit. I'll finish it. He said, and the life was the light of men. So men were already alive. Men were already alive. But in Jesus Christ is a special kind of life that brings light to living men. Amen? They were born of the flesh. But this life of Jesus is what brings light into their lives. Amen. Can you see the difference? So someone without Jesus is in spiritual darkness. But we're also seeing at Home Fellowship on Friday that it is possible to be in Christ and still walk in spiritual darkness. Now, let me just say that again. Someone without Jesus, it doesn't matter how religious they are. It doesn't matter if they go to church on Christmas Day or New Year's Day. If they don't have Jesus, yeah, as their Lord and Savior reigning in them, if they don't have a relationship with Jesus, they are in spiritual darkness. That's why his life is the light of men. That's a sad story, but what is worse is someone who is in Jesus and is still walking in spiritual darkness. How is that possible? Because they are not staying actively connected. You see, you can be in Christ. You've made Jesus your Lord and your Savior. But if you don't stay actively connected to him, you don't benefit from the life and the light. If there's a branch which is already on the tree, yeah, normally you would expect that that branch should be receiving the sap. Am I saying it right? From the stem. But if that branch has hardened up somewhere, yeah, the sap wants to flow, but the branch is hard. Yeah, it's hardened up. There's no more pause for the sap to flow through. So the sap is no longer flowing through the branch. That branch cannot produce fruit. Amen. Let's go back to John 15. I just want to really explain to you the relationship between you as a believer and Jesus Christ. Like, you can be in Christ, but not be actively connected to him. And if you are not actively connected, the life is not flowing. The light is not shining. The sap that should flow through the branch to keep it healthy and to produce fruit is no longer flowing. But when you look at the tree, the branch is on the tree. John 15. Go to John 15. So we're just in the book of John today. Yes, my special reader today, please help me read verse 5. Just verse 5. And then we have the two versions. John 15, verse 5. Please follow in your Bible. John chapter 15, verse 5.
John 15, verse 5, New King James Version. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
Amen. Let's have a New Living Translation. John 15, verse 5.
Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
Amen. And I could preach a whole 2 hours on just that verse. You see, you are already a branch. You are already in Christ. If you are not in Christ, he will not call you a branch. Someone who is not born again is not in Christ. They may go to church, but they are not a branch. Because the branch, for something to be a branch, to be called a branch, is already in the tree. If it was never in the tree, it's not a branch. You just said, I'm the vine. And you are what? Say, I'm a branch of Christ. Hallelujah. You know, when I'm saying that, I'm just remembering, you know, banks. Have you ever dealt with any bank? They have branches. I hope you can relate with that. And so if you live in Basingstoke and then you travel to Manchester and for whatever reason you have a problem with your account, what will you do? Will you travel back to Basingstoke? You go to the branch of the bank in Manchester. Jesus is the bank. We are what? We are the channels through which he operates in the world. I've told this before and I want to say it again, that let me ask a question. Our youth, let's try our young people. Who is the light of the world? Yes, young people, you don't need the mic, just say it out to me if you have an idea. Any young person between 11 and 18, who is the light of the world? Go for it. Come on, anyone? Sorry? We are. In fact, give me a better answer than we are. I am. No. Of course, when you listen to the song, light of the world, you step down into darkness. We know that Jesus is the light of the world. But there's a Bible verse in John. Let me show you. It says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Can someone just find that for me? Who is my normal Googler? Say, as long as I am in the world. Come on, young people. That phone you have, this is where it can be useful spiritually. As long as I am in the world. That's what you need to type in. I am the light of the world. Where is that? Let me see. Sorry? Did you see, young people? You see that? That's how to use your phone. John chapter 9. Please open your Bible to John chapter 9. I told you that, you see, all this technology we have, yeah? It just depends on how you use them. Technology can be used for good, and it can be used for evil. It's how you use them. So don't just use your technology, you know, consuming worldly, ungodly content. Use your technology, use your phone, your smartphone, to consume godly content. John 9, what? Okay, please, let's have our readers, please. Give me two versions. John chapter 9, verse 5. Today we are doing things differently.
As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You live in.
Yes.
But while I'm here in the world, I am the light of the world.
Did you see that? Now, let me just see if it gives you more information there. Yes, okay, that's fine. So what does that mean? If I say, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world, what does it imply? Somebody help me. What does it imply? If I say, as long as I'm in Basingstoke, I'm the mayor of Basingstoke, what does that imply to you? What does that imply if I leave Basingstoke? As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That means that when he's no longer in the world, something changes. But I will show you what changes so that you're not confused. Amen? Open to Matthew. Matthew. I think it's chapter 5. It says, you are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth. Someone find that for me. Let's see whether the youth can do better now. The Bible verse that says that you are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth. See? The others are still doing very well. Matthew chapter 5. Verse what? Okay. So let me just get there before I ask our readers, because I think I may want to take more than one verse. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Thank you. Thank you. I'll just get there to make sure I pick all the verses I need. Matthew chapter 5 verse. Yes, thank you so much. So Matthew chapter 5, let's start from 13 to 16. Matthew 5, 13 to 16. Let's go to our appointed readers for today. Matthew 5, 13 to 16.
You are the salt of the earth. Mm-hmm. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on the stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's have it from New King James. Matthew 5, 13 to 16.
13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and troubled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives you light to all who are in the house. 16. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Amen. So who is the light of the world? Come on, church. We can do better. Who is the light of the world? I am. You see, this is an identity matter. You need to capture your identity. You think Jesus is the light of the world, you are thinking of just the vine. You are not thinking of the branches. You see, the vine is the powerhouse, but the fruit does not come out of the vine or the stem. It comes out from where? The branches. Amen? It's the branch that produces fruit. Every fruit, when Jesus was in the world, he produced fruit. We call them the works of Christ. But when Jesus has gone out of the world, every fruit that will be produced by Jesus in this world now will be produced by who? It's by me. I am a representative of Jesus in the world. I'm an ambassador of Christ. Jesus is depending on me, yeah, to do his works. Now, I'm not going to do those works by my power. I can't do them by my power. It's the sap. It's the sap that flows from the vine or the stem that empowers the branch to produce fruit. It's the sap that flows from the stem that keeps the branch healthy. You see a branch, yeah, on the stem, yeah? If it's partly broken, you begin to see that it won't be as healthy. It won't look as fresh, yeah? Because it's losing out from the sap, from the stem. That sap is the life. In him was life. And the life was what? The light of man. Hallelujah. So I'm the light of the world. I hope you can say that. I say I'm the light of the world. You know why I know that? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. I'm the salt of the earth. Say I'm the salt of the earth. Now, when we say that in these days, salt, we don't understand it because we are in the age of technology. Ever since they invented the fridge and the freezer, So we don't understand the context of saying you are the salt of the earth. In the days of Jesus, there was no fridge, no freezer. So if anybody, can any young person tell me how your ham and your bacon was developed? What? Please let me sort that. What gave birth to the food items called ham and bacon? Okay, no. That's the question. What do you notice about ham and bacon in terms of taste? Come on, someone. Salty. Question. Why does ham have to be salty? Why does bacon have to be salty? Come on, anyone help me? It was in the old time, no refrigeration. So you have all this meat. Soak it in salt. It keeps it going longer. Hallelujah. The salt preserves. That's why when the rapture happens, I hope you know what the meaning of the rapture. Anyone help me? Young people, what's rapture? What does it mean when I say when the rapture happens? Can you explain it? Any young person in the house? Yes? When Jesus comes again and takes his beloved bride, which is the church of true believers. When the rapture happens, the salt of the earth is totally gone. What will happen then? Serious corruption. Serious decay. This world today is not destroyed because there's still some salt. The day is coming when the salt will be what? Removed. Then there will be tribulation and great tribulation. But even till then, we should remember that if, as a believer in my world, I'm not producing fruit, yeah? Corruption will reign. Anywhere you are, in your workplace, in your family, extended family, you know, I always say things about family. In your family, yeah? Don't just spend all your time eating and drinking and playing with your relatives. You can do that if you're an unbeliever. Yeah? But as a believer, yes, eat with them, drink with them, play with them, but don't stop there. Don't stop there. Because there are people in your family that are on their way to destruction. They are walking in darkness. And you are the light and the salt. You are the influence. You are the one that Jesus is depending on. Not just to cook them a nice meal. You should cook a nice meal, by the way. But to shine your light. To give them the word of God. And the love of God. They have to go together. The word of God and the love of God. You don't just take your Bible and bang it on people's head, yeah? You give them the word of God on the foundation of the love of God. They will listen to you based on the fact of they see your love. You see, when you have love, when you speak, it carries more word. Imagine someone who has just treated you harshly, meanly, coldly, and then comes to preach to you. Like, just leave me alone. But with love, you give them the word. Because if you spend years eating and drinking and dining with people, and they perish, what has it profited you? Hallelujah. Say, I'm the light, and I'm the salt. Say, I'm light and salt. That's the best thing you could be. Let's go back to John 15. John 15. So Jesus is the vine, and we are what? We are the branches. Now, can you just read me the last line of John 15 again? Last line of John 15, my special readers for today. The last line of John 15.
27.
John chapter 15, verse 5. That was the one you read.
Oh, the last.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. Yeah. So you read John 15, 5 last. Then give me just the last line of John 15, 5. The last line. So the last phrase there.
For without me. You can do nothing.
You can do nothing. Can you just, is that same in New Living or different? Different. Okay, give us.
For apart from me,
you can do nothing. Now let's just analyze this. Let me just say this for the benefit of those who were not at home fellowship. I said something at home fellowship, and I want to repeat it. I said something like, God, you know that we know that God is the Almighty God. Almighty means that word. What does it mean of Almighty? Come on, church. Almighty, what does it mean? Powerful, yes. Any other one? Supreme. Another one. Come on, give me. You're too quiet. Sorry? Great. And it's true. God is powerful. In fact, if God was not powerful, I wouldn't be worshiping him. I don't know about you. I mean, I can't worship something that is less powerful than me. God is powerful. God is great. God is supreme. Amen? You say, I'm El Shaddai. That's meaning. El Shaddai means the Almighty. Hallelujah. Is that not a wonderful name? El Shaddai. But I was saying on Friday that although God is all powerful, in actual practice, God is not all powerful. Now, I hope you're not thinking I'm breaking the Bible. Let me explain to you. The day God created beings with free will, he ceded some power. Amen. There are some things that God cannot force you to do. Because if God could force you, he will force everyone into heaven. Is that good? Amen. God is that good, is that loving, that if it was all up to God, everybody will be in paradise. Hallelujah. You know, he made Adam and Eve. You know, we were all inside Adam and Eve. Doesn't matter your ethnicity. It doesn't matter whatever. We were all in. Amen? Bible says from one man came all the nations. And what did God do in his perfect will? Can we just... Audrey, can you just close the windows a bit? I think it's getting colder just a bit there. Just not too much, but a bit. Yeah. Just to reduce the cold on the other side. So, it was all up to God. We'll be living in the Garden of Eden. Amen. It was not Adam and Eve that begged God to give them a garden. God made the garden. He planted it himself. And then he brought them in before they ever had consciousness. So God's will is that no one should perish. God is not willing. 1 Peter 3:9. He said, God is not willing that anyone should perish. He's love. God is love. But that all should come to repentance. But free will is God's power, part of God's power, ceded to you. It's not your power. It's God's gift. Amen? You know why God gave you free will? Somebody help me. I want some answers. Let's go around the church. I mean, why did God give you free will? Why didn't God make you a robot? You just press a button and you're in church. You know how easy, isn't it? You are the pastor. All I just need is press a button. Church will be full. No one will wake up late. No one will forget. No, you just press a button. Why didn't God do that? Why did he give you free will? Come on, someone help me. You're too quiet. Is this the face mask? We're not normally as quiet as this. Yes? Have a go. He wanted people to willingly worship him. I like that. Yes? Can you improve on it? Why did God give you free will? Because obviously, God wanted people to willingly worship him, but now, not everybody's willingly worshiping him. You know, and God knows the end from the beginning. So why did he still do it? Yes? A different shade of answer? Why did God give you free will? Come on, church. At the back. Why did God give you free will? Do you believe that you have free will anyway? So why did God give you free will? Why didn't he just make you a robot so that he can completely... You know, there are sometimes people pray and say, God, if this is your will for my life, make me do it. That's a bad prayer. Because you're telling God that he shouldn't have given you free will. Yes, please. knows those that truly love him. Oh, so that he can. Yeah, sorry. It was your English. He's correct. It's just that you cut it. Yeah. So that he can know. Yes, you're getting closer to this answer. That truly love him. Yes, anybody can improve on that a bit? Just modify it a bit here and there and you get it. Why did God give you free will? Why didn't he make you a robot who has no choice but to do what he wants? Since God's interest, you know that God's interest, God's permanent interest is that you do his will. Permanently, God wants you to do his will. So why didn't you make it easy for himself? Yes? You just have divinity. I like that because I said God seeded some power. Go on, please. Amen. It's the same story. Can you see? When I say that, you know, if I say that God is all powerful, but he's not all powerful, because although he's all powerful, he released it. He put divinity, you know, that divinity is your free will. He said, let's go. Sorry? Yes. Your ability to make a choice. Yeah? But by the way, that's half the story. Every choice you make, you also inherit the consequence. He said, oh, I have free will. I said, yes, you do. But note that as you're exercising your free will, you're also signing up to the consequences of your free will. God gave us free will because God is love. Hallelujah. God is what? I mean, can you make a robot love you? I mean, I'm talking about a robot that does your will. You wake up in the morning, good morning, here's your morning tea or coffee. Does your laundry, does everything, never disobeys you, never shouts at you like some student shout at their parents, never bangs the door on you. Yeah? That's absolutely what you want. Can you say to that, oh, I love you, robot. I just love you so much. Or can that robot love you? Why can't a robot love you? Sorry? It can. Yeah, I got you. A robot can do your will. That's the best you can do. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Hallelujah. You know, the greatest fulfillment, I've thought about, I think deeply. You know, I remember when I was in secondary school, you know, I got born again, God said, when I was 9. So when I was secondary school, you know, I followed the Lord steadily. I had another friend who was also a believer in secondary school. But after they finished university and came to the UK, she is a doctor, is a consultant surgeon, or how do they call it now? Yeah? Knee surgery or something, orthopedics. Thank you. You know, and then it goes on the internet and start arguing against God, against the Bible, against faith, you know. And it was saying something like, you know, people who believe, they are not thinking. They just blindfolded. I said, no, sir, sorry. I don't know if you were not thinking in secondary school. Well, I was thinking through it. You see, faith does not mean you are not thinking. Hallelujah. You can think, yeah, and still understand God. Yes? Hallelujah. Because I went to the barber salon, and someone was like, you know, I don't believe in the Bible. You know, I'm a scientist, by the way. And, you know, we know what we know. We don't need to believe it. I said, no. Everything you know, you read it. Most of your education, you were dealing with books. Many of the things you accept as true now, you read it or you watched it on TV. So, that's not the issue. The issue is that you are receiving information. Whether you are receiving it through books or through what you see or through what you watch, information is information. Now, based on your mind, you get to make a decision. When you receive information, you have to decide whether this information I'm receiving is true or is false. Everybody makes that decision. That's what we call faith. When you receive information, you can choose to form a conviction on that information or not. That's faith. Yeah? For example, in the Bible, we receive information about God. Not just what God said, but what God did with real people. Real people. Now we can choose to believe it. That is, I can choose to form a conviction that what information I have is true, is dependable. I can live my life based on this. That's faith. Someone else can read a science textbook and receive information that has not been verified. It's a theory, it's an hypothesis. And they can decide to believe it. It's still faith. It's just faith in the false thing. Are you with me? The fact that you're a believer does not mean you are not a thinker. If you didn't need your brain, God will not give you one. Praise the Lord. God gave us free will because God is love. You can make a robot do your will, but you cannot experience love with a robot because they could not choose. Once you can choose, yeah, like Kevin said, now you can voluntarily. You see, the height. I mean, I know some people may not understand this in terms of maybe if you have a serious need now. It's all about love. You know, when you have a craving for something, you are trying to fill some emptiness in you. Anything you have a craving for. Think about something you have a craving for. Anyone? Anything? Now, tell me, why do you want ice cream? I'm coming to you, Z, to you tell me what you like to have. I'm just pulling your legs. Yes, tell us why. Why do you think, what did ice cream can do for you? Yeah. Forget the calories. We're in no calorie village. Yes. You see, it makes you happy. It's a craving for love. Every craving you have, you want to feel loved. Yeah, you may say, oh, make me happy, you know, make me feel good, make me feel special. It's all about love. God has created you in his image. Yeah? Only love, the love of God, can fill the emptiness of your soul. Now, there's counterfeit love. Yeah? Those will satisfy you temporarily, but they will leave you hanging later. Or they will leave you with a hangover. They either leave you hanging or with a hangover. But God's love, yeah, will satisfy your soul. Say to yourself, say, God's love. Abiding in God's love will bring me to full satisfaction. Amen. So God is love. God is not forcing you. What God shows you is God has released you, but he gives you his goodness. And he gives you his mercy. We can't make it without the goodness and the mercy of God. Hallelujah. If God was not love, he would have destroyed us. Yeah? The moment you raise up your mind and say, why did it? Gone. Zap. But God's love guarantees that we continue to receive goodness and what? And mercy. Even when we fall short. It gives us strength in our weaknesses. It gives us forgiveness even when we have sinned. Hallelujah. Why is God doing all this? God is wooing you to himself. Amen. He's not forcing you. He's drawing you. Yeah, it makes you taste of his love. Now, the natural response when you receive love, is to respond back to love. When love is received and is not responded to, it's called hell. It's the wrath. You know, in English, they say, hell is the wrath of a woman scorned. Anybody know that phrase? A woman scorned. What you get as a rot is like hell. She's going to go all out against you, yeah? Because she's reached out to you, giving you her best, and you treat her like rubbish. Okay. I think one of those literature books, I don't know if it's Charles Dickens. Google it. Hell is the rot of a woman scorned. Google it. See what you get. And I tell you that hell is the wrath of God scorned. And when we receive his love and we don't respond, we treated him like rubbish. Yeah? He's giving his all. He's giving his all. The air you breathe is God's love. You sleep, you wake up, it's God's love. You look beautiful, it's God's love. You just turned sweet 16. It's what? It's God's love. Yeah? When the enemy was seeking to destroy you, you knew nothing about it. Nothing. You didn't know. You know, it's only when you know that you can fight. Yeah? You say, well, people are against me. Now I'm going to fight them. But what of the ones you don't know? And God is watching your back. It's God's love. And we respond. That's why we have free will. And that free will is power. We have the power to choose God and connect with God and walk with God, or we have the power to go our own way. Then when we go our own way, God is still loving us, but there can be consequences. Praise the Lord. You know why? Because God will not override your free will. But he will reach out to you. He will nudge you. He will send people to you. He will show you mercy. He will show you goodness. But eventually, you have to get and stay actively connected. Hallelujah. When we are actively connected, the love flows both ways. Amen. And we produce fruit. You see, when the love of God is flowing in you, your light will shine. It must shine. You know why? Because God is light. Look at that sap between the stem and the branch. Without him, we can do what? Of course you can do many things. That's why I was trying to track back why I went to the freeway. I just finished tracking it. That's where I stood, drifted from. You see, you can do many things. Someone help me. What are the things you can do without Jesus? You know you have free will. That's power. What can you do without Jesus? Come on, church. Let's have like 5 examples of what you can do without Jesus. Yeah? Pride, yes. But I'm not for actions. Give me some actions. You can eat. You can what? You can dive. Or drive. Yes. You can do many things without. You can even run a church without Jesus. You know that? You can set up a church as a business. If you have some capital, get all the effects, yeah? Invite musicians. Tell people everything that will make them feel good. You have many members. Just tell them that no matter what you're doing, it's okay. Tomorrow will be good. And everybody's going to heaven. You'll come. Give them nice music. You'll come. You can do it without Jesus. Because you have free will. You have talent. Talent is not spirituality. You can have a very nice voice. You sing, but Jesus is not there. It's just your voice. And people will come because people like nice voice. You can wear very nice clothes. People will admire you and say, you look great and you feel good. You receive some love. It's just that that's not the genuine love that will satisfy your soul. But without him, we can do nothing Yeah? Of divine value. Nothing of spiritual value. Nothing of eternal value. Yes. And you know, have you noticed that the empty vessels, they make the loudest noise? Yes, go on. Yes. Yes. Excellent question. It's just because of the way we are doing the service now. Before we go around, you know, take questions. So this is what we do. It's interactive. I'll do some today, but I can tell you this message will be in at least three parts because I found that over many years of pastoring and teaching that you can't rush everything in one moment. I've done it, and you think to yourself, I preached an excellent message. But because thank God for pastors, because if I'm an invited speaker or a teacher, I'll just preach to you and go. And I think, oh, yeah, they got it. But as a pastor, I'm working with people every day, and I'm seeing that, wait a minute, I thought I got it, but they haven't got it. So now I see I have to slow down and take it line upon line. But we go to fruit. We go to fruit before we finish today. And we're about finishing anyway. We're about finishing. Another 4 minutes, we'll finish. But next week, there'll be a part two of stay actively connected. So what is fruit? What is the whole purpose of a tree? So the fruit is a product. Yeah? That verifies the value or the life in the tree. So for our level today, I would say, the fruit, if Jesus is the stem or the vine, and you are the branch, what type of fruit will you bear? We did last week. Come on, church. Anybody? It's the fruit of Christ. So basically, it's the work of... So all you need to do is like, look at Jesus. Look at his life on earth. Particularly look at those 3.5 years that he used to minister. Everything he did and everything he was are the fruit. For example, if you look at Jesus, as I look at him, I hope you can look at him, you will see love. Love is the number one fruit. In fact, if you look at Galatians 5:22, it said the fruit of the Spirit is what? Is love. If I can tell you that every other thing listed is overflowing from love. But that's not all about Jesus. Jesus is not all about love. Do you know that? You know that Jesus also died on the cross. He sacrificed himself. You know that Jesus was also took a big stand against religious hypocrisy. He wouldn't tolerate religious hypocrisy. He would tell them the truth. Yeah? Is that all about Jesus? What else did he do? Yeah? He healed the sick. It's fruit. If Jesus was the light of the world, yeah, and he did these things, if I'm the light of the world today, I should be able to reproduce the works of Jesus. Now, when I say Jesus healed the sick, I want us to understand that it's not just physical sickness. Today's world, a lot of people they have poor mental health. It's a byproduct of the deception of civilization. Civilization offers you that, like, oh, if I can fix all my physical problems, have good food, you know, rather than walking, have a car, you know, have a nice house with eating, have nice clothes, I'll be fine. But it just turns out that it's not the case. That you can fix yourself outwardly, but inwardly, you are empty. And why are you empty? There's no love. If you're in a relationship and someone has treated you badly, you're low. If you have relied on people, you have trusted people, you have invested in people, and they let you down, you're low. Yeah? Money cannot buy that. So, the healing of the sick includes the mending of broken lives. It's what the work of Jesus. Jesus comes. Look at this woman. She was condemned as a prostitute. And when she came to wash Jesus' feet, even some of the Pharisees were like, if this man was a true prophet, he ought to know. Now this woman washing his feet is a prostitute. But what did Jesus do? Did he throw her away? No. Welcome her in, cleaned her up, transformed her life. I think that was who of them? Was it Mary Magdalene? I don't know which of the women. Mary Magdalene, for example, was the first person, not just the first woman, but the first person to see Jesus resurrected. That's Jesus. He mends broken lives. Yeah? You see, part of the fruit we bear is the devil is working in the world to do evil and to spread darkness. But when you come in as a believer, where there has been darkness, you bring light. Where there has been disharmony, you bring peace, restoration, mending. Where people are lost in addiction, you rescue them. Where people are lost in, you can be lost in self-condemnation, feelings of guilt. But you as a believer, you come into that life, and because you have the love of God and the word of God and the spirit of God, as you walk with them, you bring them out of that bondage of the devil. Yeah? And they become free to worship God in spirit and in truth. That is fruit. To shine as light in the world and transform lives. To function as a salt of the earth. Bringing preservation from corruption. Bringing restoration from addiction, from bondage, from deception. These are the works of God. And of course, you know that Jesus did miracles. That includes your ability to pray for people and their problems are solved. Yeah? Every time you do something that brings heaven to earth, that is fruit. That is fruit. Because that's what Jesus would do. Hallelujah. We will stop there for time. But just to say that we can do nothing without Him. But when we stay actively connected, and the next message of next week, I'm going to go deeper into how you can be actively connected. It's not just enough to be a believer. You have to be actively what? Connected. It's not just enough to plug, you know, your, how do you do it? Your plug into this to the socket. The power has to be turned on. And the fuse has to be working. Yeah? And even when you've done that for your TV, you still need to change your TV from standby mode to active mode. Yeah? And even when you've done that, you still need to tune into the right channel. Stay actively connected to that life, to that sap, to that light, to that love, and you will produce fruit. And the Bible says in verse 8, John 15, it said, this is how my Father is glorified, that you produce much fruit. Much. Not just little, not just more, but what? Much. Okay. Look, there's so many things we can unpack here. And I will still talk about the next third week. I'll talk about the benefits of producing fruit. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask the Father whatever you will. And it shall be granted. That belongs to some special people. Yeah? People who have received answers to prayer, they are in levels. Not everybody receives the same level of answer to prayer. But those who are actively connected, they get their prayers answered more. And God is not being partial. It just they follow the condition of connection. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, thank you for that. And we're going to pray now. Like I said, we're doing things differently, but it's okay. It's important that we keep meeting. That's the important thing. We must keep meeting. You know, we won't stop our meetings because, you know, of a virus. We will overcome it. We will have the total victory. And we will bear fruit that will bring glory to the Father and blessings to us. See, when God is glorified in your life, the blessing will come. Hallelujah. And there will be blessings of righteousness. Not a blessing that will put you in bondage. Not a blessing that will entrap you. But the one that you can still continue to be in righteousness. Let's talk to God today. The prayer is, I want to bear fruit. I want to shine as light in the world. I want to be a true representative of Jesus. Everything good you know about Jesus can happen in your life. Every good thing. Now, if Jesus is not your model of success, you have a problem. If you look at Jesus and he's not your model of a successful life, you really have a problem that you need to repent of. Because if you are truly in Christ and you are a branch and he's divine, the life of Jesus, as you see, should be your model of successful life. A life that touched people. A life that saved, healed, delivered, transformed, and brought the love and the healing. That is your model of a successful life. I just want to say that you pray into that. Say, Lord, you are the Lord of my life. And I totally accept that you started it all. The best thing in my life is to be actively connected to you so that the life of God, the light of God, and the love of God can dominate me and shine through me in the world. I want to bear much fruit. The works of Christ, the works of salvation, healing, deliverance, transformation of lives, so that my Heavenly Father will be glorified, and so that the blessings, including answered prayers, can dominate my life. In Jesus' name.